Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. As we take this journey through Lent, even though we're partway through Lent now, in fact, we're a good bit through Lent, but let's, even now, if you say, oh, I wish I'd paid attention, but it's too late now. No, right now, ask the Lord, what's one thing that you should change? One thing, only one for right now. And you say, well, I've got five or six things. Choose one and be willing to put that before the Lord and ask for His grace and His help that you might more and more welcome Him on Easter. I want to encourage you to do that. He loves us. He knows that we sin. He understands that. But when we come to Him asking for forgiveness, He gladly gives it to us. And it's not just like someone saying, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. Jesus looks at us, and He knows what sin can do, and He knows where we have failed. And He looks at us with loving care and forgives us. But you just can't go around saying, oh, God will forgive me, God will forgive me. You go to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and it will be given. The first reading for today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 to 21. Thus says the Lord, lo, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create. For I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and exult in my people. No longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. No longer shall there be an infant who lives but a few days, an old man who does not round out his full lifetime. He dies a mere youth who reaches but 100 years, and he who fails of 100 shall be thought accursed. They shall live in the houses they build, and eat the fruit of the vineyards that they plant. Brothers and sisters, there's so much in this reading, but I want to point out one area to you. Jesus says in this passage, no longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. No longer shall there be a man who does not round out his full lifetime. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to know life. And He's given us the commandments that if we follow them, that we will be helped, that we will be touched, that we will be given the strength that we need. Pray to Him every day and say, Lord, just give me the strength for today. Give me the strength to do what You want of me, and I will do it. God will hear your prayer. Is there such power when we can overcome a sin? And I know I've had sins in my life where it takes a while to overcome them. But if you persevere, ask somebody perhaps to walk with you and to help you and encourage you, but just persevere and God will give you the grace. I want to see you free from sin this Easter. Psalm 30 tells us, I will praise You, Lord, for You have rescued me. See that? You have rescued me. I will extol You, O Lord, for You drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. Lord, You brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you His faithful ones, and give thanks to His holy name. For His anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime His goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing. When things are dark, we weep, but with the dawn, rejoicing. Remember that. Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever will I give You thanks. Let's make that psalm our prayer during this Lenten season, at least during this week. Let it be the psalm that we pray, Psalm 30. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. God wants to rescue us from sin. He wants to rescue us from darkness. In every way, brothers and sisters, turn to him. And this is the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. And then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now there was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, who was near death. And Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And the royal official just said to him, these are my words, he just said to him again, "Sir, come before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "You may go, your son will live." The man believed what Jesus said to him and left. And while the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover, and they told him the fever left him yesterday about 1 p.m. The father realized that just at that time Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." He and his whole household came to believe. Now, this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea. Brothers and sisters, God wants to work miracles in our lives too. So often we look for physical healings, and God does that too, very much so. But what God wants to do most of all is to heal our souls, to heal our very souls. That's what most needs to heal. We need to turn from our anger, our hatred, our lying, perhaps even stealing. Whatever the sin may be, Jesus sees. He sees where we are. And he comes to us, first of all, as the great physician. He comes to heal. Bring to him your sins. Bring to him your pain. Bring to him your sorrows, whatever they may be. Yes, bring them all to him, but ask him most of all to heal the sin that is in your soul. We're all brothers and sisters. We all have what we call, or what I call, pet sins. They're almost automatic. And so there we say, "Oh, well, that's just part of me." No, it isn't. God wants to change you. And so we ask him, and we take just one sin at a time, and we ask God to give us the grace. So if you haven't chosen to give up some sin during this Lent, do it now. God wants to be fully alive in you. Sin darkens the intellect. Sin weakens the will. We need to be free from that so that we can follow him, run after him. Ask him, what's the sin that most offends you? Ask him that, and you probably know the answer to that. Simply say, "All right, Lord, I put this sin before you. Help me for the next 15 minutes that I don't sin. Then I'll come back and ask you again." Take time just to ask him throughout the day. Strengthen me, inspire me, help me, change me so that I can become more like you. That's what we want, isn't it? To be more like Jesus. Because when Jesus is seen through us, people are attracted. They don't know quite what it is, but it's Jesus. And that's our greatest gift we can give to others, especially those who have had or are going through very difficult times. They need Jesus. He is our Savior. That doesn't mean that he just comes at the end and saves us from hell. He's here to save us right now from ourselves at times. So please, please bring yourself to him and ask him. In the Magnificat magazine, I've been quoting from it recently, but I want to another time on page 334 if you have it. It says, "The foundation of our confidence rests not in us, but in God. Hence we trust in our Lord and we draw near to him, tranquil and sure, not because of what we are, but because of what he is. We can be ingrates, wretches, criminals, and still our ingratitude, our wickedness, and our crimes should not diminish by one jot the trust that we should have in our Lord, for the simple reason that our trust is based not on ourselves, but on him. And Jesus is the same forever, ever good, ever loving, ever merciful. I was the one who changed, but these changes in no wise affect my confidence, since my confidence is based on God, not on myself." Think about that, brothers and sisters. This was written by a bishop from Mexico, servant of God, Luis Martinez. And I want you to hear that. May God deliver us from confiding in ourselves. May God deliver us from lacking trust in him because of our deficiency. If we are laggards or ingrates or sinners, we shall do very well to mistrust ourselves. But why go to the extent of lacking confidence in God? What relationship have our sins and our ingratitudes with the goodness, the mercy, and the love of God? All his attributes are infinite. Hence, the only thing that could shake our confidence would be to come to the knowledge that our confidence would be to come to the knowledge that God is no longer so good and so merciful as before. But as long as this does not occur, and it will never occur, we must confide completely in him. I know many of us, through circumstances in life, seem to have nobody to trust. You can trust your Lord with everything, with everything. I mean that, brothers and sisters, with everything. You can trust him, especially if it's your sin. But whatever the nature of it, bring it to him. Ask him for help, and you will be surprised. Suddenly you get the strength to go to confession. More suddenly, perhaps you want to confide in a friend for the first time in your life, and that leads you to confession and rebuilding your relationship with Christ. He loves you. Come to me, all you who are heavily burdened. We're burdened. We're burdened by sin. Come to me, all you who are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus promises. I will strengthen you. I will bless you. I will help you. Please don't stay where you are. I will pray for you today that God may give you the courage. May God bless you. Amen. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.